Welcome to the Mug Meeting Summaries Podcast. I'm Gilbert Detilieu. Our November meeting started with the usual roundtable discussion, moderated by Brad Vokey.
Distro obviously, used to be based on Ubuntu. Now it's more closely related to Debian.
And what's its specialty? Like what?
Multimedia, user land stuff, desktop home users primarily. And it's because it's not created for the American public. Yes, it does have all the codecs. You don't have to install them yourself. They're prepackaged.
Seems to work pretty well.
We got this one today.
The EFI BIOSes too.
I read somewhere that this rising up in popularity across the distribution.
Yeah.
It's trying to avoid the desktop as a bug.
Yes.
I'm using version 13 because it's the 5-year version. And I'm running it with Mate. I tried Cinnamon and didn't like it as much. Mate works pretty well.
Unity raises major issues with the old desktop across several machines this week, trying to use it. I'm still using 10 because I like holding out.
And the fact that my wife can use it and get around in it, that's a testimony in and of itself.
At the lab, we give out 10 to the clients. We were considering 12, but 12 has issues on the low-end machines. I was talking with one fella on Google Plus yesterday, today, and it turns out that cheap video cards will get around the problems with the 12 and 13. But that is if you got access to the video cards.
Like I said, I went with 13 because it's the 5-year supported release. It's still very much based on Ubuntu, but they do have the Linux Mint Debian edition, which is really common where it's based off Debian. It's nothing to do with Ubuntu. And I think that's getting more mature.
Anybody else?
Since your webpage said we were supposed to bring our favorite toys, the only thing I had that was worth bringing was this. I suppose everybody has one, or should have one. USB to IDE cable.
Isn't that perfect?
Oh, yeah. Best thing, I use it every single day. I'll take any IDE, laptop, SATA. Comes with the power supply for it as well. And as I said, best buy I've ever made. They brought one for us at the lab, and I bought one for myself the next day. Not much to see. It literally will connect to any hard drive, any ID it will connect to. Comes with a nice SATA cord and the adapter for the power supply that comes with it. And I quite frankly can't live without it now that I have it.
Does it make a nice hoovering sound? Does it make a nice hoovering sound when you pull the data off the IDE?
Well, you're supposed to safely remove the hard drive beforehand. But it does say it's that you can safely just unplug. I've never tried it. But as I said, I literally, it's the best $30 I've ever spent. If you haven't got one, then you, I don't know. As I said, I always have hard drives coming to me, and it just saves one hell of a lot of time.
What's the brand name, and where did you get it?
Well, I got it from CBIT, so you're shit out of luck. But you can get them anywhere. Literally, just ask for a USB to IDE drive.
It's like an adapter cable.
Yeah, well, there's like 5 different brands that you can get now. I mean, the lab's got a different one.
This one's
This one's Unitech, or Lantech, sorry. But I've seen like 4 or 5 different brands of these things. Some of them don't come with the SATA, but I know that you'll get it at Computer Avenue. Any half decent store, the Source will have it. Anything will have it.
Memory Express.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with CBIT?
They're out of business.
They went out of business? No, they pulled a Primex. Anyone here remember Primex?
Apparently they're doing web-based for their security, but that's about it. But yeah, this one costs $31.31, so probably the best buy I've ever made. But then again, I've got like 30 hard drives sitting in my place, and I don't like burning things anymore. I just swap them from hard drive to hard drive, and I fix hard drives. It's something, if you were actually going to buy it, I would suggest it to anybody.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
We had a couple adapters, sort of the same idea, but these are from a few years ago, and they had both parallel IDE and SATA, so it was a much bigger unit than that, with a separate cable that plugged in for the USB port. But same idea, where you could just plug it into a drive and through a USB interface to suck the data off.
You can get some that you can actually, comes with a, instead of just a cable, it comes with a little sort of a socket, and you drop the drive in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It stands up
perfectly.
Mm-hmm. I have one of those. It's just a dock, and you just drop drives and pull them out, and they're great.
Yeah.
Those are usually SATAs.
SSDs work amazing in that. You're bound by USB 3.0, but still way better than dropping an SSD into your main computer because you don't have to move everything over and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For a straight cache sitting on my workspace, I have one. I just plug it in, say Windows and Linux and all this other stuff, use that as swap. Make that my ZIL. Do it, and it works.
On USB 3?
Yeah, it's an eSATA port, so you're limited by that port. But that being said, as long as it sits in the middle between your spinning metal or your other SSD in my case, and that, it's fine.
Someone went or did a presentation, was it you, for last week on the Muddy Waters computer group? How did that go for you?
Well, put it this way, the server worked at the lab. Server worked at home. I brought it out to the presentation and it didn't work.
That sounds like normal.
And that was a virtual terminal or something like that?
No, that was
LTSP.
Yes.
Which is like a thin client kind of Linux thin client thing?
Basically run X on anything. Mm-hmm.
So anybody at the lab today or this week? It's going to be your last chance to see because I'm going to be wiping it out, putting something else.
No,
no, no,
no. Why? We've got plenty of computers.
Well, yeah, we do, but those go out to the clients, and this one was something specifically that Alvin told me to play around with. So,
yeah, we got that really nice Linux sitting in the back that I won't let anyone have. There's just a computer that's just too good for the clients, and I won't let anyone have it. But I haven't come up with a good enough reason to ask for it for myself. Of course, I shouldn't be saying that with the boss sitting right next to me.
Come up with some shitty reasons for anything, so why would you stop now?
Anybody else have any new stuff they want to talk about? We're going to definitely do the pass around the toys.
A
few people already commented on my shirt. I'm wearing my spam shirt today for a reason. We had some discussion at last month's roundtable about running mail servers and anti-spam measures using Milters and that sort of thing. Well, last week we had one of our accounts on our mail server system get hacked, and it was used to send out spam. And we caught it after a few hours. And I deleted over 29,000 queued up messages on our server that were still waiting to go out. But I don't know how many thousands had already gone out at that point. So we ended up getting blacklisted on a few sites. Getting delisted was fairly easy for most of them. You just visit their website and go through some process, and sometimes it was with a confirmation email, and that was all fine. There was one site, though, that insisted on a 7-day retention period unless you paid for an express delisting. So we're just waiting for the clock to run out on that one. But there, I've got two questions related to that. First of all, does anyone know of anything, preferably like a SendMail Milter-based solution, that would let us do rate limiting for outgoing email as opposed to incoming? And part two of that is, one of the other services that is still responsible for a lot of the blacklisting that we're seeing, this is many days after the fact, is sites that are running Cisco IronPort gear. They use this sender-based reputation score. I'm not sure how they come about this score. It's presumably using a number of different factors, but they don't give their magic formula. We're off all of the blacklists that I can tell, except for this one I mentioned, which isn't a very commonly used one, and I'm not sure whether Cisco's using that or not. But here we are almost a week later, and we're still getting a poor score on their sender base reputation score. Anyone have any experience with Cisco IronPort stuff and have any comments to
offer? Sounds like an Adam question.
Yeah.
For your rate limiting thing, you couldn't always use IP tables with its rate limiting just on SYN packets on outgoing SMTP. It's kind of ugly, but SendMail, just on its first attempt, will notice that and just, you know, try again in the 2 minutes or whatever that it's set to.
Wouldn't that slow down, like if I have a big attachment I'm trying to send out, that would slow it down?
No, just on the SYN packet, so it'll only be on the initial,
right,
the initial connection.
The initial,
yeah, you wouldn't want to do it on all the established related, just on the SYN.
That's okay.
It'd be like one little rule. But if you set it sufficiently high, it'll stop this type of thing and never really affect you otherwise. Mm-hmm. And you can look at the stats with the dash capital L dash capital B to you know, to see if it's actually hitting the rule. That's all, how many times. If you do find a Milter that does that, though, let me know. That's not a bad idea, actually, what you're suggesting. I don't think SendMail has anything built in to do that, I don't believe.
And how did you get hacked?
Like I said, custom. Someone's.
We don't know exactly how the person's account got hacked. He was actually quite paranoid about security, so he doesn't fall for phishing scams or anything like that. But he did access his account from like a public site, and there may have been a keylogger installed on the system or something like that. But even there, like he said, he's really careful about that sort of thing. He even, rather than type in the whole password, he will sort of cut and paste characters and things like that. But depending on what kind of software was installed on the system, they may have been able to get it. Yeah. Well, not necessarily sniffing, because he was going over secure communication, but if they have software on that machine, you know, they can access whatever, depending on what software they've got on there. So, yeah, so that's probably how his account became vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
I have two little things I was going to talk about. Several times at these meetings, I've talked about these little quadcopters, and I don't know if any of you've gone online to watch the videos of the quadcopters all working in unison. They're very, very interesting. They're controlled through a Linux system. That's why they're relevant. In the last week, they've announced that there is a quadcopter kit you can buy that to develop your own little controls and stuff if you want to get into the quadcopter arena. So you should be aware of that. It is out there. The other thing is the cotton candy stick, the little one that's and we talked about the microcomputer. It has been Underwriter Laboratory approved now, and they are shipping them to developers out of Sweden. They have a distributor in the United States, but they don't have one in Canada yet. Those are the ones that plug right into your TV and use it as the monitor, and they have Bluetooth connection. They're about the size of, old Wrigley Spearmint gum pack.
Really?
And they're a full Ubuntu computer system. So,
how much did you go in for?
They're not very expensive. I think they were $199 or $149. They're cheap.
That's not exciting. Computer anymore.
Oh, that's a different. Yeah, that's another
one. Different one.
It's
Runs 1 GHz and 1 GB RAM.
And it plugs into where?
HDMI,
yeah. That's what theirs does, too.
Yeah.
Well, it's that one.
It's $53.
Where did you get it?
Alibaba.
Alibaba? Yeah.
So you pay $10 for the DVD. But it comes with Android. It has a slot for SD, micro SD, and it's supposed to be rooted, so it should boot from it. But I didn't try yet. So.
I managed to get Arch booted on one of those guys.
Did you?
It doesn't work.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is pretty handy,
so.
It's not really USB stick size, of course. Yeah. It's.
You say you use it with a Bluetooth keyboard?
USB keyboard, Bluetooth, I don't know. Wireless keyboard. The thing is, it's Android, so you need the keyboard and touchpad, or you cannot do anything.
Looks like a mini USB.
Yes.
Cool.
Most of those units use mini USB as their power source plugs.
Yeah, there's one as power source and one as output. And two as output. So.
Next for questions, comments?
Last month I brought up the problem I was having with the gateway router, whatever you want to call it, and some extreme latency problems, like latency spikes of 2,000 plus milliseconds, and brought it down, troubleshooting as best as I could, to a bad Ethernet card, Intel 1000 something or other.
Oh, the E?
Yeah.
E1000E?
Yeah, that's the module I was using.
It's a mismatched firmware. I've hit that. It's an embedded system, right? It's an embedded chipset in the Ethernet.
No, this one.
It's a PCI Express firmware.
Okay.
E1000E versus E1000 is different. And if you load the wrong module, it fucks up sometimes. But go on.
I ended up replacing the Ethernet card, and upon replacing it, it just seemed to totally resolve the issues. So I don't know if it was a bad Ethernet card. This new one ended up acting a little weird, but nowhere near 2,000 milliseconds. I mean, latency spikes of around like maybe 5 over the local area network, so it's not very
cool. Good to know. Did we suggest a hardware card? That was the problem? I can't remember.
No,
we
didn't get that far. Yeah, exactly. We're like, that's what I...
For those of you that are willing to go down to the east coast of the United States, I hear there's a whole bunch of computer equipment that's kind of slightly used and damaged. That, like,
soggy though.
It that storm took out some major servers and conduits in the states. So there was some big guys that were down, and they were running on backup servers out of California. So. But it was interesting to see the internet slow to a crawl during those 2 or 3 days.
Actually, that could have been our problem on Friday.
I tried calling you guys running servers back and forth.
Especially trying to get university.
Slow opened up as of today. So anybody who uses Amazon Web Services noticed that probably in the newsletter. So I don't think it really matters, but we're now on 4 out of the 5 habitable continents in the world. So
No, we've got three locations in the States.
Which do you?
You never know.
I know this isn't Linux related, but because Microsoft bought Skype, they've now said they're going to close down Windows Live Messenger.
I heard that too.
They're going to go totally to the Skype service.
Positive to every story.
Oh, was it the head of Windows 8 development quit?
You going to take Windows 8 with them?
I heard he was kind of asked to quit.
All I would say is if I wanted my computer to look like a touchpad, I'd buy a touchpad.
Is it me, or does everybody feel that Windows 8 is like the ugliest operating system that you've seen in the last 30 years? Like you look
no,
at the
Bob,
screen,
I think, could take that
this,
one.
Isn't the screen like, is I don't know, maybe it's me.
Yes.
Like, it looks like Windows 1
no
exactly.
Right now. It's early in the meeting.
Sorry, I got the fights over
early. Sorry, I retired 5 hours ago. I'm just getting a little antsy already.
I think that their intention was to make it more simple, make it faster.
Yeah, but pretty multicolored panels on the front. Like
it's basically going to the total non-decoration. Like there's no window edge. There's no window anymore. It's just it's all gone.
Well, and I think for trying to attract Mac users, people that use Linux and Unix, that's like on the desktop mode, it's kind of goes totally the other way because some of the most beautiful desktops in the world have been developed by guys that are using Linux and Unix with desktop graphics. And I think it's just
they lost me
at
Windows 7.
And Microsoft required all vendors that were selling computers to return their Windows 7 to Microsoft. You cannot buy a Windows 7 machine from a major manufacturer anymore.
Too bad.
Well, until they start doing the downgrade thing like they did with Vista. Just wait 3 months. It'll
come.
Yeah, but
Steve Ballmer has to feel the money draining out of his wallet before he makes that concession.
Exactly.
Well, let's just go start going on to gadgets. Who wants to go first? We've already got a couple passed around. Who's next? Guess who's going to go third?
Well, I'll go first.
There we go.
I have probably the last clamshell BlackBerry model that's ever going to be made. that's my gadget. I'm always an expert at getting into submerging technologies. This is my first smartphone, and I picked this one because being a clamshell phone user, I could not stand the thought of having my pretty little screen and my pretty little keyboard getting screwed up in my daily life. And the little slide-out ones were nice, but the screen wasn't protected, so I bought this and then found out they're discontinued. They will only do OS 6, and they're probably never going to exist again, so this may be my last foray into smartphones. But it has worked well. It combined a PDA with a cell phone, which is what I'm really looking for, so I didn't need to be able to do everything in the world. But,
a company called Zag in the States.
For these? Yeah. Well, I don't care about the outside screen. It's good to go. This is how low-tech I am.
Let's just go clockwise from there. That way everybody gets a chance, even if they don't feel like they can bring anything up. Do you have anything to bring gadget-wise?
I'm glad you clarified that. No, not tonight. Thank you.
And next, you had your... what was it that the stick behind you? It was an Android. What was it called?
Yeah,
okay.
Micro PC.
Where'd
it go?
Yeah, somebody bought it.
Yeah, so it's like
all the way around.
What actually is it?
ARM computer?
It's an ARM computer.
Yes.
Roku's the last name. Roku.
Is it Rinco-Mighty?
Yeah, we had a name on it.
So, ARM 802 it is called. If you Google it, you
get it. And we got that nice IDE USB converter cable. Save the cable. Next. Nothing? Nothing? Steve, anything?
No. I was going to bring something, but it's in use right now and I couldn't bring it. But I may have made the first power bar when I was like 35 years ago. I had all the computer stuff and I didn't have enough plugins. So I made my own power bar. And if I had gone into the business at that point, I'd be rich.
Patented it.
Did you duct tape a whole bunch of power cords together?
No, it was a box, a wooden box like this deep, that, and I put like real sockets in it. Yeah, six sockets.
And it's in use now?
Still.
Wow.
It's plugged into a UPS, so it's...
Yeah, the passenger components last forever.
Well, I don't have stuff here, but I did have something last few weeks that resulted from one of the nice sessions we had here a few years ago, because I was not exactly stranded, but I ended up in Boston for several weeks taking care of my new twin grandsons, which... really angers you to the spot, since they each want to be fed 8 times a day. So 16 feedings a day is pretty busy. But the thing that's relevant to this is there was no great computer connections there, but I did put together a little mini ITX board with a USB Wi-Fi on it in one of these little packets, and with a keyboard, and it was great. I just stuck it right on top of the television with a wireless keyboard, and not only did it work well, and you could really work well off the television, but it was $100 roughly in cost, you know, plus $25 for the keyboard. So worked out really well, and I probably never would have done it if it hadn't been for this group. So there you go, useful
awesome.
Stuff.
Awesome.
So that's my hardware story.
Next.
Pass.
Still there?
No.
Sorry, no, nothing.
I brought, I swear by this case, anybody that has iPhones and they made it for iPads, it's a waterproof, pretty much indestructible case. So I'll pass this around. There's one inside there, and then I'll pass you around on a phone. It's called LifeProof. They're expensive. They're about $75. Okay, you've got one. Have you used it underwater?
I put it underwater, like they said, before I put it together.
For the test. There's a picture on this phone. I'll pass it around to on my phone. This is an underwater picture I took with this phone underwater.
How's the view from looking outside of the toilet?
Yeah. So it comes with a little plug that goes into your headphone piece, and it has a little adapter that's in here. That when you plug it into the headphone, you can use your headphones underwater if you have underwater headphones, or even normal ones.
Well, the connection becomes waterproof.
The connection becomes waterproof with the adapter.
Because that's important.
Well, it's important for the hot tub. And you can still fully charge it, get access to all the ports. So this, when this comes out, it's a water-sealable connection. So I leave this on 24/7, and it's just always waterproof. So I'll pass that around.
The Apple cable may be, at the moment, maybe the only one that charges it.
I've actually bought adapters, because I have a whole bunch of different cables all over the place, my car and all that. My car one wouldn't go in, so I just bought a little adapter that goes onto the end of a normal 30-pin, and then it goes into there, no problem.
That would have been useful during that hurricane, like if you had to talk about your phone
outside. For a test of... of the durability, I fell my full weight on that thing. I fell off my tractor going about 25 kilometers an hour, and I fell my full weight on that case. Oh man, I'll pass the clip along too. And this was on my belt at the time too, and it's still in perfect, well, not perfect shape. The screen got a little scratched, but the phone is in perfect shape.
What I like is the lock on it, too.
Yeah, that clip really locks in securely.
Well, the reason I got it is because I'm up at Dimley in the rain or the wind and the dust for the racing during the summertime, and I didn't want it to get soaked
all that
and
stuff.
Then light up.
I bought it mostly for the pool because I'm in the pool all summer. So
where do you buy those?
They're everywhere. Best Buy, Future Shop, Staples, I think, even has it now. As a word of warning, I ordered one from China that was supposed to be, you know, like $25 off the back of the truck from China, and I got it, and it's not near the quality. It's everything looks the same, but it's not.
The first instruction is to pull it out of there, put it together, put it in the basin under about 6 or 8 inches of water, and let it and
have
something bring it down and
then
there for an hour.
Yeah, it's fine. You can open that box up
and
look at it.
Another one.
That's it for me.
What? Well, I've got Raspberry Pi. I was beaten by somebody else last month, but I've had this since May or June. Ordered it like the week it came out, and it took 4 months to get here.
They wouldn't send it there.
But I've got all the cables with me if, time permitting, we want to do a boot up and put it on the projector.
Awesome.
What are you running on there?
Just Raspbian OS.
Raspbian?
Raspbian. Somebody's going to just throw called Pi. Something Pi. Raspbian Pi.
They could, because they made a movie out of that.
Yeah.
I have a question about this. So it's got a membrane over the touchscreen.
Yep.
How does the touchscreen still detect touches?
It is not as sensitive. Maybe you can attest to that too. It still works fully, just not as sensitive. You've got to push it a little harder.
Yeah, after a couple of days.
But you get used to it.
You get used to it?
Yeah.
When you go underwater, it won't work. Like, you can't use the touchscreen. So to take photos, you use either the physical button on the side or use your headphone jack to take photos when you're underwater.
So if you're stuck on the bottom of the ocean with your phone, you can't make a call?
HDMI.
If you start the call ahead of time, you can continue the call.
DVI?
Oh, yeah.
So does it come with a ring? It's just like the thing from Jaws?
It used to be a thing.
It's just digital.
You want to order now?
Or composite if we've got a composite cable.
Yeah, but
I thought it was interesting that you come off your track
watch before.
At 25K, you're running it with the telephone? Telephone?
Oh, yeah, cell phone charger plug. Yeah.
Yeah, you were texting on your tractor.
No, I was drunk.
It's okay to text on the track.
Yeah, let's. We'll come back to the why it's pi. Right after we're done. Let's see. We'll move on. Next. Nothing.
Sorry, I was new. I didn't realize.
That's okay. Wait, have you bought anything new lately?
No, I'm looking for a new laptop.
Ooh. So,
$8.99 at Costco. i7.
Are you gonna put Linux on it?
I sure am.
Awesome.
Yeah, so
he knows how to answer.
if I didn't put Linux on, I'd be sent out the door, eh?
Maybe sent out the door. We're really tough on people like that.
You notice the presentation's not on a Windows machine.
Well, sometimes it's Mac.
That's true. Sometimes it's pure Linux. Robert had it on Linux.
What are you talking about? I'm doing good. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't own at least 5 computers?
Yeah. Is there in this room that doesn't have 5 computers?
Does it own 5?
2 people? Or what if we went to 8?
8.
How many own more? 8 or more?
Like running now at the same time?
Well, yeah, that are at least runnable.
Oh, runnable? Oh.
In your house. Yeah.
We gave 2 away last week, otherwise I wouldn't be.
How many have 8 in their basement not working?
No, when the end of August came and they said they were going to make us pay to get rid of them.
Oh, you got rid of them.
Got rid of them.
My stuff
I'll pass it around just before I give a small demo, since it's related to what I'm doing later.
Awesome.
No, I don't have anything.
That's not true. You said you had a vax at Brandon University.
Well, I have one. I have two at home.
I was at the UW when they were running vaxes still.
We still have a vax in production at Brandon University. The computer is older than the person using it.
Brandon, you wait.
Does it have a crank on the side?
Feels like it.
You load programs with little switches.
No, that's the PDP-8. We got rid of that.
And I think the back corner on the left there. Yeah. All right, we've been around the table.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.